Mickey Hart here, you're listening to the GAA Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour Football Show, brought to you by our friends in AIB. Fantastic show lined up today. Obviously, semi-final in Croke Park yesterday. We're going to have 14, 15, 16, whatever minutes we can get with Andy Moran, who, listen, there's life in the young dog. He's only 32. This idea, Andy Moran's got this old man who's still on the go. 32 years of age. That is still well able to be performing at this level. With me in studio today are Conan, Paul Galvin, Senan Connell. Welcome, lads.
Cheers.
Woolly, yeah.
I saw you all nodding in approval there when I said Andy
Moran. You better believe it, yeah. Don't you have that, Paul? You know, when you get to 30 and everybody's, that's it, he's over the hill now, we hit 30. But do you not feel, I was certainly fittest, I wouldn't say my best, it was never good, but you know what I mean? Did you ever get that feeling when you hit 30 or at your peak? And I looked at Alan last year coming on the All-Ireland final and kicking that point. Alan Brogan, 2 more years left in him, it's probably just a conveyor belt we have in Dublin. But do you not get that, Paul, when you hit your 30s there?
Yeah, there's a little bit of
ageism,
stigma, maybe.
Yeah,
you know. But I mean, you know, we won't change it today.
Yeah, true. When you come in as a young fella, though, you're like, what's he still doing hanging around?
Yeah, well, I remember when I came in, George Doyle was 31 and he had a bit of grey hair, and I thought this lad was like my grandfather. I just says, what is this lad doing? He just seems so old.
Yeah,
he used to complain about going around the cones and all the stupid little stuff. I was like, will this lad ever piss off? But then, like, I mean, when I was 34 on the leash panel, I felt like I was one of the, I didn't feel 34 at all. I was 3 years older than the ancient fella who I thought was old. I agree on the Alan Brogan one. Definitely he'd a couple more years left in him. First of all, lads, here I want to talk about Tommy Carr. I don't know if it's Tommy Carr or Tom Carr, because Twitter goes into meltdown when this lads on co-commentary. Like, okay, he gets an awful slating on social media, and Jack McCaffrey weighed in yesterday. There's a beautiful tweet by Jack McCaffrey, and it's easy to know Jack McCaffrey is long thousands of miles away from Seamus McCormack, chef, the Dublin media manager, because he gets who it is. The fact Tommy Carr is making money off commentary gives me some hope of one day being an astronaut. Well done, Jack McCaffrey. But like, I think it was favoured like 1,000 times. What is it about Tom? Is it Tommy Carr or Tom Carr?
It was Tommy when he managed us way back in the day.
Changed to Tom now.
Yeah, and it's now Tom. It's more mature or something, isn't it?
Once you get 30, you start to get a bit older, you see, so you start changing your
name. Depends on what bracket you're in, whether you call him Tommy or Tom. Tom, I think Tom sounds quite good, but he is getting an awful doing.
Yeah, he's getting an awful doing. I think he said a couple of things yesterday, that it wasn't a black card for Kylie because there was 8 minutes gone. The time gone has no bearing on whether it's a black card. Completely irrelevant. And he says Aidan O'Shea is having a great year in the last two or three games. But that's not, I don't mind their little slip ups. But like, I mean, he seems to make a big deal out of nothing, and he seems to make no deal out of something that's a big deal. He's just not getting it right.
Do you want to take that, Paul? Off you go, Paul.
I was going to leave that one slide. I spotted Jack's tweet actually yesterday. I thought it was quite funny, but you see, he must be on the other side of the world, is he?
Yeah.
Is he Japan? No, Mannion was in Japan. Jack's
he's
in Africa.
He's in Africa doing,
he's doing charity work.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a character. We'll talk about the black card, because none of you want to put the boot in on Tom or Tommy Carr. Like maybe I do. The black card incident, 100% a black card as far as I'm concerned. I don't care if it was 8 minutes gone. It was true on goal, and there was a pullback, and he kind of ran across him and tripped him. Whether the trip was intentional or not, the pullback was definitely intentional, and that's a black card.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's a cut-out cynical play, isn't it? And that looked cynical from where we were behind the goal. The problem is just, where I look at it, it's the black card itself. Just, it's the whole issue around the black card. You have a fella here in the biggest game of his career, probably ever, and he's gone after 8 minutes for what in the old days would have been a yellow card, cynical foul, pop it over the bar, free, get on with it, and we all would have been happy with that. But it's the issue around the black card itself that just killed me. Yes, you see that fella going off and nearly tears in his eyes.
That's tough. So,
yeah, a yellow card probably would have been just as big, have a centre back on a yellow card marking somebody that was the on Jason Doherty, or is it a tough situation to be in as well? probably should have given him a yellow, I thought.
Yeah, it's but if it's there for cynical play, like, I mean, you can't pick and choose. Referees are criticised for just giving yellows when they are blacks. So, like, I mean, how can they win in this?
Yeah, we did this after the Ulster final. Where we were giving off about them giving wrong black cards, like, you know, but I think if you are going to have a black card, then you have to implement it. And you're right, if there's 8 minutes gone, I don't know why that matters. And Tommy or Tom Kiar also said when there was 20 seconds left, they didn't see the point of giving a black card. Well, it was a black card, that's why you gave it. So it's either a rule or it's not. And unfortunately, if it is a cynical foul, which originally I actually didn't think it was, I thought it wasn't intentional. I thought he just tripped over him. But then you could see the replay and he was having a little pull and having another pull. And then eventually they both went down. But
yeah, he knew what he was doing because that was straight. It was straight through and goes. Who did he pull back? I can't actually remember who he pulled back.
Jason Doherty.
Jason Doherty.
He was having a sort of a nibble at him, which you expect the defender to do.
That was almost a little dink ball out of a crowded area.
It was actually. Yeah,
straight through.
We want to get an audio of that and a visual for everyone at home for the next day. A little dink ball into a crowded area. I should have said. Go on.
A little dink ball out of a crowded area to Doherty and Kylie pulled him back, and that's a black card. That's the kind of consternation these think balls can cause.
We're all over. I've just had a sneaky suspicion it's going to come back all around final day. Going to come in here on the Monday smug. Say, did you see that little think ball? Broke out there.
You'll be back in school then.
Yeah, true. Actually, too. Real work.
The thing about it was, and I've always said this, I don't want to talk too much about the black card, but it had a huge bearing on the game because Liam Kearns was taken by surprise, ends up bringing young Keane on, Leahy on, who ends up having a nightmare and gets taken off, and Tipperary were just scrambled for the time. Their centre half back was gone, they weren't expecting it, and it took them until half time to regroup. But, like, I mean, a sin bin is a much better punishment as far as I'm concerned for a black card, and for the reason is it's not as punitive as the black. He's not gone for the whole game, 10 minutes out. And another thing which I think the sin bin is much more important is in the last 10 minutes, you go down to 14 men. So instead of being the hero, taking your black card, going off, another lad come on, suddenly you've let your team down because they're down to 14 men scrambling for 10 minutes. So instead of punishing the player, punish the team. Because, like, I mean, you know, you punish the player, anyone will take one for the team. Like, you know what I mean? There's no huge deterrent in just punishing the player. But if you broaden it out and say, right, you're off the field, you're down to 14 men, that's punishing everyone. And you're not as inclined, you know, to do it with 10 minutes to go then.
Didn't there used to be a sin bin?
Yeah, it was a trial in the league.
It was a trial when you're in the National League. Yeah. Well, yeah.
What was it for?
I don't remember it even when I was playing. Pardon?
I do remember it.
What was the rule? How did you get a sin bin?
Jeez, I don't know. Paul, here, you've brought this up.
the reason I brought it up is because I got the sin bin.
Yeah.
I don't know what for. I can't remember what for.
Was it for
wasn't slapping the notebook out of the referee's hand?
Yeah. Tomas was the first man to get one, actually. Tomas, yeah.
Was he?
Was it for the yellow? A yellow meant you were off, but you were replaced. So I remember if you were on the bench, you were waiting for a yellow left, right, and centre to be thrown. I think it was for something like that in the National League. But you're saying punished. I think Tip were punished, yes, as a team, but that's just because Tip don't have the resources. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like another team could just throw. If it was Dublin, let's say Kev Mack is up, Paddy Andrews goes in. It's probably hurting the weaker teams. The black card is what you're saying there, will you really?
Yeah.
For me, it's something. Go on, yeah.
It's more the last 10 minutes. You know, it's more of a deterrent. But in the obviously, Tipperary did punish the team by him going off that early. And, like, the face on him, he was like a young boy.
I felt for him, though, yeah.
Sent to the principal's office or something.
Yeah, he was absolutely
livid.
There was a great article, actually, in the Derry Post when the black card came out. It was by Ciaran O'Kane, and he was talking about this does not sort of reflect what's going on at club level. Like, there's teams who have 15, 16 players maybe for games. If they get a black card, they can't just keep replacing these guys. So, actually, you're probably right. Punish the team, take a man off. Or take them off for 10 minutes or whatever it is, 5 minutes.
And then we could have those exercise bikes where, you know, like you do in the rugby, where you're just kind of staying a little bit warm.
I was just dreading it. I think I was gone. I was dreading the day that was going to happen in Croke Park. Because once you saw remember watching the Six Nations and seeing it saying, oh shit, we're in trouble here now. You know,
I loved that.
Yeah. Would you?
Well, it's better being a sub and a humiliating run down the sideline.
I know, that's
where
real.
You run down to the end line, pretend to do that calf stretch and watch
and you're ignoring your mates. And you're like, shut up, I can't say hello.
Yeah, you just go straight back up. Love that bike.
Yeah.
Great, you can watch the match. The thing that
teams
really
have them, I'm sure teams have them
do
at training. We have Kerry have them.
Yeah.
The Warm up rooms, yeah,
on
the bikes.
Oh, yeah, for warming up, yeah. On the sideline, though, I think it would be a departure. One thing, and you might appreciate this, Paul, when is a GA manager going to wear a suit on the sideline?
Oh, jeez.
Like, when is this going to happen? There's a market there. Imagine the free suits he's going to get. Yeah. Like, wear your suit.
Yeah.
Wear a suit in your little technical area.
I can see Paul's head working here.
I've already thought about that. I've had these discussions, but
people don't ever twist David Fitzmaurice's arm there.
I should chat to him, shouldn't I?
I'd say Keane O'Neill would be a banker to do something.
Oh, you better believe it, yeah.
People don't like when GAA folk do something a bit more high tech or modern. Like, I remember John Brennan always having a go at Jim McGuinness for using a laptop. I could use a laptop too. And I always remember watching Longford warming up, and they had these massive, like, massive medicine balls, and I remember thinking, how pretentious are these guys? Like, you know, just because you see something new, people in the GA don't tend to.
No, we don't like new. We don't like new things. We don't like change. Last thing, because I don't want to talk about these incidents during the analysis. Bill Maher sending off. It was a definite sending off. I saw a camera angle on it this morning. The Sunday game got it wrong last night. It was a punch in the stomach. Now it wasn't like it's not going to knock him out. But it was a punch in the stomach, and from the angle I saw it, it was a red. Conan, you saw it this morning as well.
Yeah, it's funny. Last night I did a piece on it, giving off about the fact that he gets sent off, because the Sunday game analysis straight after the game, it just looked like he pushed McLaughlin to the ground. Yeah. It looked like McLaughlin made a meal of it, which unfortunately I sort of questioned him for it as well. But in saying that, the punch, it sounds so stupid trying to make a defence for a punch, but it didn't look. Didn't look like a grade A punch. It looked like he sort of hit him with his arm, and it was sort of a half push, half punch. And it was actually in reaction to him. McLaughlin seemed to have a bit of a nibble at him first, and he came back at him. And I still thought it was harsh, but I definitely don't think McLaughlin might have made a big of a meal out of it as people thought.
Yeah, did you see it, lads?
I was at the game, and it caught us all on the hop in real time.
We didn't know whether it was black. Yellow. Didn't see it against him. No. Paul, same. Yeah,
no, caught everybody by surprise. But yeah. Yeah, disappointing for him.
He's both sound like Arsene Wenger now. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw the Sunday game last night, all right, and it wasn't conclusive for me. I was sort of rolling with them. You've seen different angles this morning, have you?
Tweeted out this morning, and it's RT footage. So I don't know how they didn't have this last night in the Sunday game to show that it was a punch. It doesn't make any sense. But anyways, listen, lads, we'll have to leave there because delighted to say I have Andy Moran on the line. Andy, you scored one with the inside of your right, one with the outside of your right, and two with your left foot. You're just showing off at that stage.
I wouldn't say that, but that was nice. It was nice to pop a few points, I suppose, the last couple of games. My main job was to win the ball and lay it off. But it was nice to get a few myself yesterday. It was just I suppose the right thing to say here is just add to the team winning. That's all that mattered, really, Colm. You know.
Yeah, you must be delighted with your form, though.
Yeah, the form at stages last year got to nearly to the level where I needed it. You know, and. This year I was in and I was out. I played a few league games and I got a break against Kildare, and luckily for me I did okay that day, and the boys have stuck with me since, you know. So it's nice to be back in there. And listen, your form is, when it comes good, you as well use it, you know, and you have to kind of profit on it when you begin to play well.
Yeah, movement changes everything is your motto in Castlebar HQ, and that's certainly something, you know, everybody can notice that. You don't need to be a pundit or an ex-player. It's just your constant movement, constant showing for the ball, and you don't have to be a Kieran Donaghy to be a target man.
No, I think like that'd be my natural way of playing, I suppose, full forward. That's the way I would have always been when I started out, I suppose, in my 11, 12, I suppose, in around that time. And like, I got a few, one or two serious knocks at the time, and I probably had to change my game slightly. But the body is back to good shape again. So I suppose you mentioned the gym there. The gym definitely has helped me. I was a rep there for the last 5-6 years. I was always in the car, sitting down. So it was hard to get the body right. And we started the gym last June 2015, and the body has definitely improved no end since I got out of the carriage, you know.
So you're in there on a daily basis then?
Oh yeah, that'd be my full-time gig. We're there 6-7 days a week, so it's me and a couple of more boys, David Drake, that's on the panel there as well. He'd be in there with me. So it's it's definitely helped. It's definitely helped my body anyway, and like, I'm sure, and you know it yourself, if you're sitting down all the time, you're in the car, no matter where you're going, it's not good for you, you know.
Yeah, you definitely look loose anyways, you know, that's one way I would describe it. You must have goalposts in that gym as well, because your accuracy has improved an awful lot. Is that something that you're working on, this kind of turn and shoot? A lot of them are going over the bar.
Yeah, I was. I missed one against Tyrone, which I was disappointed with, if I'm being honest. But it, like, so, some days the game suits it, Colm. It's like it's what it is. Like Killian, is our main man. We go to Killian for most of our scores. There's no doubt about that, and that's hopefully the way it'll stay now in 4 weeks' time. But listen, if you get the chance and the opportunity is there, if you can take it in big games, it really does help, you know. And I think we got a few, like Jermyn's one at the start of the second half yesterday was key, I thought, you know. It was a serious point with the outside of his right, and it just kept us in the lead. And if you have more people than Killian contributing, I think it really helps the side, you know.
Yeah, the important thing with you, from what I can see, is that the half-forward line needs to have a little bit of discipline and hold their shape, because if they're close to you, a lot of good comes off your moves. But if you're isolated there with a sweeper, you're getting bottled up.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And I think, to be honest with you, I think the two teams that are in the other semi-final, you could actually say the exact same thing about it. You have, I suppose, the likes of Paddy Andrews, Bernard there for Dublin, and you have James Donoghue there for Kerry with Ganey. It'd be the exact same thing, really. You know, they need the half-hour line to stay close to them to supply them ball. And I think that, like, the three teams that are left in the championship would need the same kind of format, you know?
Yeah, why were you not making the team up until the Kildare game?
we've a few guys there. To be honest, straight up, I had to prove myself. I'll be straight with you. I don't think I've probably done enough. We've new management in there. I've been there a long time, and if I was a new manager coming in, I'd be looking for new ideas as well. You know, so yeah. Why wasn't I making the team? Straight up, I probably wasn't doing enough. You know, and John McEntee has laid it to me a few times on a plate there, and he's kind of. He's a bit of a straight shooter, you know, and we've had them discussions, and I had to go away with the club and kind of prove myself, and I did that, and then the opportunity arose, and luckily I just took it, you know.
Yeah, were you aware that I'm fighting against the new management here that might want to come in and shake things up? You know, were you conscious of the fact you needed to fight against that?
Yeah, and you've some really top players there. You've seen our under-21s that went and won the under-21 All-Ireland. Like, if I was a manager, or you were a manager going in there, you'd definitely want to give the younger fellas a go, and that's the way football should be. And, like, if I'm there, I'm not fighting for my place, to be honest with you, I shouldn't be there. So, I had a tough league, I won't lie to you. It wasn't a nice place to be. I was getting 8-10 minutes here and there, and for me to make the team, I had to go out, I suppose, in them club games and make a bit of a statement. And luckily for me, I did. You know.
Yeah, you're only 32 though. Like, we're not talking about a 38-year-old here.
Yeah, I know, but it seems that
you're around forever.
Like, yeah, I know. It's just one of those. It's one of those ones where. I think people think we're older than I presume there was that perception when I first started taking over. Once you got to about 30, 31, people were finishing up then. I think the game has kind of changed, you know, with better lifestyles, better S&C coaches, stuff like that. I don't think, well, like, we probably didn't party as hard at college as you did, you know. So it just little things like that, I think, kind of I've just kind of helping them. People just—it's just a natural thing. Once you get to 30, people just think it's probably your time to call it a day. But listen, it's as you said, I'm only 32. I still think I'm a bit average, you know.
Yeah, obviously the career is helping prolong your career and keeping you loose. Are you doing anything else? You know, some people in their 30s take up yoga or, you know, do extra things for recovery. Are you doing anything like that to maybe prolong your career on a bit?
I would have. I'd kind of look at kind of every sort of I'd have tried every sort of quack, every sort of kind of whatever was thrown at me over the years. I'd have tried it, you know. So it's I kind of do anything now. Do I do yoga? No, but I do a lot of kind of stretching. I would do a lot of kind of, you know, reading books. What could we do? You know, I've a good wife at home too, which kind of she looks after me a lot. So you know, she's a saint if the truth is known. So so we've bits and pieces that we'd be working on all the time. I don't do yoga or anything like that, but. Joe, I can see the benefits of that too, to be honest.
Yeah, you obviously have the record after the London game, most appearances for Mayo. You must be very proud of that, you know, beating someone like James Nallan. And to be honest with you, Andy, I didn't realise you were as big a fan's favourite. I knew you were a fan's favourite, but I didn't realise the extent of it until yesterday when you came off and you were being interviewed afterwards. The stadium shook the minute you started talking.
Yeah, it's... fans are funny, you know yourself. I like the Mayo fans are definitely the most passionate fans in Ireland. Like, you know, they live and breathe it. And I think the one thing they appreciate from this team, not me in general, just this team, I think one thing we always do is we try anyway. You know, no matter what we do, we'll.
Sorry, your style of play certainly, you know, shows the fans that you're trying above anybody else.
Ah, yeah, but I think the record for this team, like from 2011, and like, don't get me wrong, I think consistency is a load of crap, to be honest. If I'm being honest with you, we just want to win one. But I think if you do look at the consistency level, I don't think there's any argument that this team will kind of, I suppose, battle for the jersey. I think the supporters kind of appreciate that too, you know. And you could see even when Tipperary were coming off the field yesterday, like, the Tipperary fans appreciated the effort they put into the game as well, you know.
Yeah, how do you see your form, Andy? Because like, you're playing for 10 minutes, blowing the likes of Kildare, Westmead, Tipperary away, and then you're going to sleep. Like, there seems to be a bit of a pattern forming here.
I think the problem, if I'm being honest, is that you're so used of playing the Dublins, the Kerrys, the Tyrones, and there's always a pattern to the game. It's a different style of game. And then when you play the likes of Tipperary, like, who just have young fellas who are just running you, like literally running. The word you used was pattern. Is there a pattern to the game? There's not really, do you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's just, it's all like the pressure, Colin, honestly, since we got bet by Galway has just been huge. Like we played Fermanagh, we played Kildare, like we were expected to beat all these teams. And like, if you beat them by 10 points or you beat them by 1 point, you're not going to get any credit either way. Our job was to do our best, stick in the championship, get to an All-Ireland final, and that's where we're at, you know. So we're happy. How's our form? To be honest with you, our form was good last year when we drew with Dublin in the first game and we were out of the championship in the replay. So I don't really care what our form is like. We're going into a final here and finals are for winning, you know.
Yeah, is there a motivation? I don't mean a motivation issue. You obviously want to win the game, but you're such heavy favourites against these teams. And you, I don't know, subconsciously kind of you switch off when you go that 5, 6, 7 points ahead, as in, look, job done here, you know, and then suddenly the malaise sets in and you can't switch back out of it when they get back near you.
Yeah, I can see that point of view, but I think that the big thing is these teams just throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
Like, they literally just throw caution to the wind. Like you played Tipperary yesterday. Like, Tipperary, to me, have unbelievable footballers. Like, Quillivan, Sweeney, you know, these boys, Austin in the full forward line. Like, give them huge. Like, and we showed them a lot of respect. I suppose we put someone in there, try to take them out of the game, which I think quite worked well in that kind of aspect for us. Like, you have the boys, the halfbacks, like they're really good players. Like we played with me. I said after the game, you have the likes of Sherry, Heslin, Egan, these boys. Like, these are really good players. I think we've talked about the gap so long between Division 1 and Division 3 and all this, but all these teams now are getting better managers. You have Kieran O'Neill with Kildare, you have, you know, Cribbin, you have the Cairns yesterday, you have Pete McGrath with Fermanagh, that they're cuter. And once they throw caution to the wind, then you've prepared all week for a sweeper and all this, and then they throw caution to the wind and you have to, you know, you have to adapt to that as well. So it's quite hard to play these teams in the same way, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned management teams there. What's different about the Mayo management team this year?
Like, we've Tony and Stephen and we've Donny. Like, you could not meet three more different characters, you know. They're,
right.
they're kind of all different. They're all challenging you in a different way. And it's just a good vibe. Sometimes the management team, you know yourself, just kind of comes in and it just works with a team. And hopefully, you know, if all goes well in 4 weeks, we can say that as well, you know.
Yeah, you seem to be that little bit more tactical this year. I know you're playing sweepers a lot and you're switching the sweeper around, where it's almost paranoid that you don't want to concede goals, because maybe that was your Achilles heel in previous years.
I think if you look at the game yesterday with the three boys that I mentioned on their full forward line, and Bill Maher kicking them in the ball, like, Bill is an outstanding player if you ask me, you know, kicking in the ball to these three boys in the full forward line. I think if you stop Tip from scoring goals yesterday, we could say we had a really good chance of winning the game, you know, and we did. Some people probably didn't like it, didn't like that it wasn't all out attack, but Joe, our job is to get to an All-Ireland final, and we did that. Like, and I like applaud the boys for doing something like that, you know.
Yeah, what's the hype like in Mayo now? Is it the same? Is it kicking off, or is it a little bit more subdued? It feels subdued from the outside. I know what it's like in Mayo.
The media boys keep talking us down. It's waiting. keep at it, and from tomorrow on, it's going to be all about Dublin and Kerry again. You know, so it's listen, the hype in Mayo is always mad anyway. Like, we could be playing Leitrim in the Connacht Championship or Sligo or Roscommon, and the hype would be mad anyway, you know. So it actually doesn't matter if it's an All-Ireland final or first round of the Connacht final. Mayo people just talk about football, that's all they talk about.
Yeah.
So it's always the same anyway, you know.
You're mad experienced at this stage now.
And I think it shows too, and like a couple of years ago, like in 12-13, like we were, I suppose, ripping teams apart, like we were playing flamboyant football, running them off the field. Like, but that team, I suppose, like, I would hope to think that we're a tiny bit more experienced, tiny bit better equipped to go into a battle like we're going to go into in 4 weeks' time, and hopefully that shows, you know, hopefully that shows.
Yeah, well, listen, best of luck with it, Andy, and thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Colin.
All right, Andy Moran there. Great to see him still on the go. Only 32, like we said at the top of the show, playing unbelievable stuff. Next up, we're going to analyse the game yesterday. But first, I have an announcement. Next Friday night, the GAA Hour will be in McSorley's for a first ever live event. Guests on the night are going to include Declan O'Sullivan, Dara O'Shea, Jimmy Deanahan, Billy O'Shea, Ger O'Keefe, Paddy O'Mahony, Senan Connell.
Hold on a minute. I haven't confirmed 100%.
Well, listen,
in amongst all them Kerry lads.
That's enough pressure. Yeah. Amongst other guests, you've just been announced, mate. You've no choice.
That's one of them, isn't it?
Listen, we're very excited about it. It's obviously going to be free in. It starts at 8 o'clock, and it's in McSorley's. And you know, there might be one or two special guests we're working on thrown in there as well. There will not be Paul Galvin. I tried to put that bit of pressure on him, but he's a harder nut to crack than Senna. All right, next up, some analysis.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D we're talking about, where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient. But this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground, and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
You have said it three times.
It's in around the, but you're looking at me. You're looking
well,
at me.
Out of a crowded area, is it?
You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
AIB, back in club and county.
Yeah, lads, I'm hearing all over the place that it's a great way, or Mayo are in a great place going into a final and not playing well. Sorry if this is a bit basic, but are you not better off playing well going into a final than being very inconsistent and only playing for 10 minutes here and there?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, that stands to reason, I suppose, but I do actually buy into that theory of a semi-final win. Yeah,
yeah, but
I don't mind a stuttering, spluttering semi-final.
Yeah, but that's on the back of other stutterers.
Correct.
You know,
which is a bigger issue for them, and they do have an issue probably with their consistency and falling out of games and that kind of thing. But I always think like a big quarter-final performance, workmanlike semi-final performance, and a big final performance again, I think, was always a kind of formula that worked well for us in our time, but. Mayo probably have a little bit to work on, I think.
Yeah, today was annoying, Paul, when you guys stumbled into that semi though.
Yeah.
And Mayo were probably doing the same, but you blitzed Dublin. Do you remember that day?
Yeah.
Sort of it. You showed something in that 2009 semi that maybe Mayo didn't show yesterday. You know.
Yeah,
people
are using the example of Galway stuttering into the final against Meath in, is it 2002 when they hammered Meath in the final? Meath had hammered Kerry in the semi-final.
2001,
sorry. Yeah. And, you know, that was, you know, they ambushed whatever Meath in the final. Like, I don't think Kerry or Dublin will be ambushed by Mayo in the final because they know how good they are. But, like, I mean, you'd have to be concerned that they're not putting in more than 10-minute spells of good play.
I mean, it certainly really pissed me off a bit though. Like, they've won 5 games in a row. Like, they might not have been
against poor enough teams, very average teams now that Dublin or Kerry would blow away.
Well, granted, yes, but they've beaten Tyrone along that way as well. They did what they
don't
had.
Don't use the one example that that's one out of five. Come on, there.
But people are talking about their form and
the Division 2 or 1, Wally.
We're talking about their form and consistency. They won five matches in a row, and in the last two games, they conceded, I think it was 5 points from play against Tipperary, from play, and 6 points against Tyrone from play. So they have started to tighten that up. And afterwards, you know, after in the Sunday game analysis, I don't mean to keep sort of holding that up as some sort of talking point, but it is like the lads sort of gathered around, and it was like Mayo had lost to a Division 4 team in the quarterfinals by 10 points. It was just, this isn't good and this isn't good. They have no leaders. They're mentally weak. And
there are no leaders is terrible nonsense. I don't know who said that.
Yeah, but I was
like, Mayo have leaders all over that team, if you ask me. Keegan's a leader, Boyle's a leader, Aidan O'Shea's a leader, Andy Moran's a leader. You know, I don't think leaders is their issue. I definitely don't think.
Yeah, and I just think, Jesus, lads, like they're in the final here. Like, you know, if this isn't good enough, the last two in the All-Ireland series, if this isn't good enough, what is that? And I know they need to improve, absolutely, but I think, geez, what a great place they're in now. And Paul is completely right in that they seem to be building for a final for once when they have never done that before.
Is there a bang of Portugal in the Euros about them? Just getting to the final without playing great, but there's almost something about them this year that they seem to have that.
Yeah, things are breaking their way. Well, yeah. I think they sort of had to fumble their way through a new game plan while still winning games. This defensive system that they're adopting, and I think they got the breaks in terms of who they had to play against, the Killers, the Fermanaghs, the Westmeads, and fair enough, they showed something against their own. So it's, for me, when I look at Mayo now, they're like a team that's had to change, or a golf player has had to totally change his swing. What worked for them in the last two years got them so close, but it didn't get them over the line against Kerry or Dublin in those semis. So they've nearly had to go back to the drawing board. So Stephen Rochford, he's just totally dismantled what they had, which for me was the launch pad of the attack came from that half back line. The Keegans, the Higginses, the Boyles bombing forward, and that was their game plan. That's what worked, and players coming on the loop. Dismantle that, it was gone. And I think what's working is they're slowly going back to that. They're giving a little bit of freedom now to Keegan, the last 2 points against their own. Boyle going forward, well, you know that way. So maybe they're finding the correct form slowly but surely, but they've stumbled into the final.
Yeah. People talk about, when they talk about the new style of Mayo and they talk about the sweeper and all this, and they're getting blinded. He has completely changed the way they play. They kick pass way more than I ever saw them in the last 5 years. They're constantly, now Andy Moran's such a brilliant target man, he's always free, but even Andy Moran aside, there's long balls from the half back line to McLaughlin, there's long balls to Aidan O'Shea. They're kick passing a lot. Now they're not all going to hand, but like, I mean, Rochford kick passed away to an All-Ireland club, a Cora Finn, he believes in that, and it's a clear change of tactics that they're moving the ball through the foot an awful lot more.
Yeah, they are, and it's a great sign of them and for them, I think. You know, I think they do have good kickers. I watched them a couple of times this year now, and they weren't kicking the ball, and they were really hand passing it and running it and soloing it and taking a lot out of it. And it's I think it's good for them that they have started to kick it a bit longer.
Yeah.
But they're very pragmatic, I think, at the minute. Rochford has brought a real pragmatism, looks at opposition, looks at what he's got, and comes up with a system per game, which I think is a big plus for them as well. You know, I thought Barry Moran really affected Tip's game the last day, took away Comerford's, and I watched Comerford quite closely. I was right behind him, very good keeper, very good kicker, but he was flummoxed for a lot of the game. They had to go short a lot, and anything that went long, I think Mayo won. So, you know, Barry Moran was coming out for kickouts as a third midfielder and then dropping to sweep if Tip went short and started to build up. You know, I think that will take Mayo a long way, actually. I think it will take a lot of teams a long way if you can, like you just said, take apart your game plan, put something new together to take apart the next opposition. I think is a great way to go.
Did they show Tipperary too much respect, though? By their division, they're a top three team. Tipperary are a Division 3 team, right? Now, they've had a couple of good results against Galway and Derry, but not world beaters. Do Mayo really need to play a Barry Moran in there, you know, against the Tipperary, or should they be doing what Kerry do and just go out and beat them by 10 points?
I mean after 20 minutes they were 2 points down.
20
odd minutes in, you know what I mean?
So
like, there was a moment in that game actually where I thought the Tip crowd started shouting for Tip. They were 3 points up.
Didn't look good.
They could have a right sticky day here.
Yeah.
And that time after half time, that time coming into half time is such a critical time in championship games, and I was really interested to see how the 10 minutes before half time would go, and Mayo dominated that period. But
they got that break, didn't they, Paul, that goal?
Yeah, they did. They got it, you know, it was a big moment in the game. But I think you do what you need to do, and I thought it was a good sign of them now what they did with Barrymore.
I'm sitting beside McGuinness now for that, and at 6-3 up, he said Mayo could be in trouble here. Yeah. You know, they mightn't sustain for 70 minutes, but they certainly could be in trouble. And I disagree with you there, Willie, on that one about Kerry going out and beating Tip by 10 points. I thought Kerry were set up very defensively against them with a view to what's happening down the line. Don't me you just because you don't agree
don't
with
know,
it.
I don't know.
They said they put a system in place maybe for future games. One eye on where they were going, and they knew they were going to be done in the semi final. I think one eye with that. No, I'm not saying
you have to do it. I think you have to do it. Yeah. You know, regardless
of
the level or the opposition, you target their strengths. And,
really?
Yeah. Because
if they
Kerry
went,
Kerry would have kept an eye on Quinlevin. Kerry would have details for Quinlevin and Sweeney and the middle of the field. Like, you know. That's the way it works, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's showing too much respect to a team when you're playing them in a semi-final. I mean, we're down to the last four, Division 3 or not. They've beaten Cork as well, who are a Division 1 team. We're going to keep going by this league format, and we know Tipperary are a good team. Either they're good, or we're just patronising them the whole time, you know. So
they're decent.
Yeah, they've got good players, and I think they needed to prepare for
it. I was a bit disappointed with them yesterday, actually. I didn't think they played, but I think that was a lot to do with Mayo's setup. But I didn't think they really went for it in the end. They kind of just, I felt they didn't have a proper go at it.
Yeah, it was. I thought they were full of gusto for that 20 minutes, and then the basic errors you wouldn't see with a real Division 1 side in a semi.
No,
they were taking the ball into tackle. Yeah,
the Austin Gleeson or the
Philip Austin shots. Yeah,
he's not good enough at this level. You can't miss the type of chances as a number 15 that he misses, and it deflates the team. And they are missing that quality, but like they have an awful lot of good points to their play. Like, you know, they play with that abandon or whatever, and I thought they were a better team for about 50 minutes of yesterday's game out of the 70, and just lacking that quality in certain positions. Whether these lads will come back in to give them that bit of quality or not, we'll have to see. But they're definitely lacking that little bit. The Austin, the young Keane wing forward was poor on the day. O'Halloran was poor outside of Quinlevin, and Sweeney didn't really have anything up front that played well. But they battled well right throughout the field, though.
We're talking about stellar forwards. We knew that Quinlevin was going to be earmarked, and he wasn't going to get any sort of space. So
he's very good, though.
He is very good. No, we were at the old canal end. What's that called, that stand now? I don't know the canal end, but that is the Davin, yeah. They didn't pump enough ball, I think, in on top of him. Why not? 1-5 might work out and you get a smelly old goal, you know, and he'll take it.
They
because
gave
there
one
was a
to
chance.
Him and Lee Keegan was all over him, and Barry Moore
was
in
it,
hand.
Yeah.
And that was the value of having Barry Moore in there, because I think Tipperary never gave it in. But, like, just to get onto this Barry Moore thing, what confused me, like, he was there for the kickouts, right? And he'd contest the kickout, or if it didn't go near him, suddenly then he was doing like Colin Cavan and turning around, going back. And then he was pointing at someone else to pick up the man he was leaving. But like, there was maybe 10 seconds by the time he'd left them, by the time he was being picked up, that the midfielder was completely free. And then the fella that came up to pick him up, his man was free. And it just seemed Tipperary had, you know, it seemed a bit kind of confused or something. Tyrone get away with that so easily with Kavanagh because they have about 15 lads back, and you don't really notice it as much.
Seamless for
Tyrone, because they just get the man gets lost in the middle in a crowded area.
Yeah. We love this crowd. it's more coppers than McGowan's, isn't it? That crowd.
when you're going with five forwards and you're trying to do that with a midfielder, it's a bit, I don't know, like, it's a bit messy.
Yeah.
There are the pluses of pulling a move like that. You know, Tip were a bit confused, I think, and they didn't quite crack it. They couldn't crack it.
The high ball, they didn't go with the high ball at all. No, but I don't do much to those two lads.
Quinlevin is actually good in the air. I think against Kerry, he was. I think he might have been sick the night before, if he said it, but Kerry blitzed him any high ball that went in. But he wasn't darting out to the little pockets of space either, so left or right, so that seemed to be their tactic against Kerry. But I thought they could have just changed emphasis yesterday, even for a few minutes, when they got it back to 2 points.
Yeah.
The momentum was with them. They hit, was a 5-1 second half for about 15 minutes. I think they had 5-1 up in terms of score second half.
Yeah, especially when you have two inside, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't that he was just trying to stop Quinlevin, it was a double Sweeney and your man are good in the air. Didn't see enough of that ball.
I'm not sure whether it was a brilliant tactic or whether it was a bit overthinking things a little bit too much. I'm on the fence about it. I want to talk about the first goal for Mayo, obviously, because they're the only ones scored a goal. But it was like Jimmy Feehan came out to Keith Higgins as he was running through, and it was just a handy ball over his head, bang, goal. Should Feehan just be backing off there and backing off there? Why commit yourself to a corner back who's kind of, you know, one or two men around him, and leave a Doherty fella who can score goals inside you? Like, it showed a lot of inexperience just to rush out he didn't need to rush out. In that scenario, geez, if I'm a corner forward, I bloody love all day for my man to rush out there. But good man markers never rush out there. If they're eye on you and they're backing off, and they're not leaving, if it is eventually thrown to you, it's thrown to you when your angle is so shit that, you know, you don't really have much of a chance. But he just made, it was a bit of inexperience maybe, he just made it so easy on Mayo.
Yeah, I don't, Paul played in the final. I never played cornerback. No, but I think what he did was make the decision for Higgins.
He made it easy for Higgins
because that's all he had to do. Whereas if that was someone like, let's say we played against Conor Gormley there, who was back in that, he would have forced Higgins' mind to say, I can't pass this off, I'm going to have to shoot here, and I'm a corner back, you know.
And you see that drill actually quite a bit before games.
Three on three.
And you're trying to, you know, I think the Kerrys anyway certainly do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And the defenders know exactly what they do, what they're supposed to do in that situation. And you know, probably rushing a guy isn't what you're supposed to do, or you're expected to do on the Kerry side of it anyway. But maybe an experience, you know.
Yeah, because Keith Higgins is running through there, and you know you've been in this scenario, do I shoot or do I pass?
Yeah.
You want that decision to be made really easy for you, because you're like, it's panic stations there, because you're not too sure. Like, I mean, you're in range to shoot and there's a corner forward, you'd be lynched if you don't give it.
Yeah.
So you really want the defender to force your hand there and make the decision easier, and which he did.
Plus he's out there coming 60 yards.
Yeah, and he's yourself, tired.
You're wrecked. You just want to ship that ball off, and a clever footballer he is did.
Yeah.
But it's that, I always say, you know, when you see a forward who goes on a mazy solo run, you probably see more in club football, and he takes the shot, there's not you won't get him in an arse's roar of a point because he's shagged.
He's gone,
you know.
Gone.
And that was really, that way his hand was for him. Great for Higgins later off,
and
he looked great.
Back as well. Let him shoot.
Up north, we call that drill a 3v9, Paul. You're always well covered, like that will never happen.
Blanket.
Yeah. Crowded, yeah.
Crowded defense.
Okay, we're going.
That's gone.
We're going to ban crowded area off this show. Lee Keegan, lads, playing full back for some of that game. Like, personally, I think he's wasted in there. Like, he's not that good a man marker that he, you know, should be. Is Keith Higgins not better there? Let Lee Keegan out. Now, I know he scored a point, but, like, I mean, you don't want to see him in his full back line. Now, I don't know, is the reason for this that Mayo are looking to go to a more kicking game and Keegan's not the best kick passer, he likes to solo it up, and maybe the management are clipping his wings a little bit that way, you know. I don't really know what the reading of it is, but you'd imagine Lee Keegan's not suited to play full back.
And again, this probably goes back to what you were saying, Paul, that maybe it's Mayo just being pragmatic, and what Rashford is doing is he's customising his selection to suit the opposition. That's just it. And if Keegan, if Sean Cannon's gone inside, or in the next, if Dublin or Kerry get through, it could be Gooch, it could be Darren McConnelly. If they're going in the full forward line, he's going in after him. He's in their pocket. I just really think that's all it is. Because in the semi final, he came out and he kicked 2 points against their own, and I presume he was cabinet was off, I suppose, at that stage. But look, that's just me. That's just what I'm feeling, you know. That Keane isn't playing. They're out now full back. All of a sudden, it's been pulled in the last two games. Obviously, they know that, but for us, the supporters going in, the out now full back is gone. And now the likes of Keegan is following into the full back line. So they're not going with a big, robust full back. I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what smacks it to me. You know,
For some funny reason, I actually think Mayo are much more dangerous this year. I really do. I don't know what it is about them. There's something about Mayo. You've heard it here first. There really is something about them this year, and I think they'll win the final.
I'm with you, Wooly.
I said this last week.
Yeah, true.
you said it last week.
Wooly,
did I agree with you?
On the website.
It was easy to have an identity. For me, for covering the last years, looking at Mayo, they had an identity for me, and it was that launch pad from the halfback line, and they could be targeted and matched and marked, and you know what I mean, and tracked and everything else. It was probably easier to mark the players, because I don't know whether you agree, but a small unknown quantity about them that they're shaking things up a little bit now. Hang on a minute, they could do something different. We're not even talking about Dermot O'Connor there. What about all the leaders you talked about? This guy could slip in for a goal. Jason Doherty's slipping in a couple of times.
Evan Regan on the bench now, which is surprising me as well. You know, Evan Regan, he's a good player, he's a good forward, a surprise. Bringing the likes of him in stages like
Parsons very good to come in too. There's no doubt their bench is good. Here's another thing I wanted to talk about with the kick passing. They're clearly kick passing a lot more into the full forward line. Doesn't suit Killian O'Connor, he's not fast enough. I saw him yesterday, he's trying to get away from his man who's all over him, and he can't break free like Andy Moran. So he's actually, you know, he's a bit snookered now. There's a bit of space there. He likes to loop around when these half backs are coming forward, and he gets on. He's a different type of corner forward to Andy Moran. But like, now that they're looking to go long and kick into the full forward line, Killian, I think it's affecting Killian's game.
Yeah, I don't think they should be necessarily kicking it to Killian O'Connor. We all seem to call him Killian, Killian O'Connor. I mean, you've got Andy Moore in play to him. He wins every single ball, and Aidan O'Shea, when he's in there, play him any sort of ball, and he'll make a fist of it. So I don't think it's a problem having O'Connor in there. Like, he obviously likes the sort of dink pass in the crowded area more than he likes the long pass.
That was bad.
Yeah, sorry. But so just stop kicking him the ball from 70 yards down the field. But I will also say, just on the Lee Keegan point, like they're more dangerous now going forward. So they're not exactly losing anything having him in fullback. I still think he'll probably be halfback in the final to mark Jerry McConnelly. Sorry, Paul. But like, I don't think they're losing anything going forward. And look at Keith Higgins there. He can just go forward if he wants.
Yeah, just one liner there. I think instinctively Moran is gone every time, whereas I don't Killian O'Connor has that instinct. And it's nearly like Andy Moran has that. He can smell the day. This is it. And he might get, he may make 9 runs and get the 10th one, whereas I think Killian might be eyeing it up. I don't know.
He's
whether.
More of a Bernard Brogan. He doesn't want to run off out there because he can't score from out there.
And I think it's a problem actually that Mayo have, is attacking into corners. They're like a whirl of ball goes into corners when they're attacking.
Yeah.
And Andy Moran is so gamey, like he does run.
Yeah.
He's gone early daily.
Yeah. You'd love for more of those attacks to be coming into more central areas, like where Bernard would play, where Killian O'Connor wants to play. I think Andy wants to go. I'd prefer if he was more inclined to stay, actually, and you were trying to find him centrally. I think sometimes Mayo have to work really hard for their scores. Now, he actually picked up some handy ones yesterday, actually. But a lot of the time, it's like Andy Moran gets it in the corner and then he's trying to create something new instead of just being able to be in a position where he can finish. He's getting in and trying to beat a fella, and the next thing is like set up the play again for someone else to have a go.
You see at times, sometimes, and I mentioned this to him in the interview, when the half forward line gets sucked back a bit, there's such a space and he's out in front and then he gets it. And there's nothing really on. Like, he turns around and he's being double marked, and there's nothing really coming. Like, you got no benefit out of giving that long. You know what I mean? It didn't make any sense. Number one, maybe you're breaking a bit too early, Andy. Wait until it works up a bit closer and get ball closer to goals. And that, like, to be honest, when I played full forward, I played like Andy Moore, and I was just so desperate for ball. I didn't mind where I ran. I just ran because I knew I'd get it and I'd be out in front. I think there's a value of having someone like that. It doesn't have to go to Andy Moore. You know what I mean? I think that's something Mayo need to figure out. It doesn't need to go to him initially.
He was turning into the outlet ball out of defence yesterday, and he shouldn't have been. There has to be someone in the half hour for that.
That's the McLaughlin should have been going for that. Should have been holding his place a bit. But then he was chasing Bill Maher, who actually marked McLaughlin out of it. Caught him for pace on two or three different occasions and broke the ball away, which you never see that by McLaughlin. But is the thing about Mayo, and we'll move on from Mayo then, you don't really know what way they're going to line up in the final, because they have that bit of versatility. Like, I mean, you don't know who's going to be the sweeper. Could be McLaughlin, or else they could go, here, let's forget about the sweeper altogether. And now there's more of a surprise factor with them, as in Dublin or Kerry won't exactly know, because Rochford has been changing it game on game. And like, that's a great place to be, because Mayo were the first 15 were predictable, and the way they were going to play was predictable.
You're contradicting yourself all over the place.
How?
No, you're not.
My thought process is too clear.
Yeah, because you're reading off a page. Get away from me. It's and I'm sure Paul would agree, adaptable. Kerry are adaptable, Dublin are adaptable, Tyrone are adaptable, and Mayo are slowly but surely getting there. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, you need to be. You need to be, and I think they're dangerous. They're in a great, I think they're in a good position, I must say, going into the final.
A word for Tipperary then, because we spent most of the time talking about Mayo, but they are in the All-Ireland final. They were in the game here. Like, I mean, we're talking about two goals deciding this game, and the first goal was from a bad turnover and a mistake by Fien, which we just spoke about, and the second goal was a pure fluke of a pass from Regan, you know. So like, I mean,
it was a shot, wasn't it? Yeah. He slipped with a shot.
Oh yeah, he went for the outside of his boot, and it was just a beautiful true ball. But what a finish from O'Shea. We're actually getting back to Mayo here now again, but he's back with to the goals, and it was on their own. Like, that's a sensational finish. But Tipperary, like, I mean, it's hard to know what else to say about them. They'll have a chance against any team when they have Sweeney and Quinlivan in the full forward line. You get them a bit of support, one or two more quality forwards. You get O'Brien back into midfield. You know, that might release Atchison into the half-back line. He's heading to Dubai or something traveling. Yeah. So he's probably gone as well. But there's different, you know, I think they're a bit off it. But at the same time, you know, I thought they played brilliantly yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's off it. There only really are three teams. Like, we used to be four with Donegal, but we can sort of cut them off now. Tyrone have proven that they're maybe just not there yet. They might not get there unless they find a full forward line. So everyone apart from three teams are off it. It's just it's a mismatch for the rest. They're in the free for all.
They're in that mix. They need to go on a good strength and conditioning course this winter. Yeah. Like, they really, there was a very clear difference in the tackle, who was coming out with the ball and who wasn't. And Mayo turned them over so many times. Yeah. They're physically not big enough. Like, Tyrone aren't a physically big team, tall team, but they don't lose, you know what I mean? They don't lose
power
that type
in the
ball.
Tackle, yeah.
Power in the tackle. Yeah. They need a good strength and conditioning fella over the winter and come back with a few extra players and actually be a decent force.
I think it was the one thing that was lacking yesterday. If I had been coached into it, probably a hard thing to do was do not take that ball into the tackle.
Yeah, not against Mayo.
No. And you'll still see the Dublins and the Kerrys doing it when they're playing against the blanket defence. It's the angles are running. You'll see a guy who always has an option that he's not going into physical contact anywhere, and it was probably lacking with Tipperary. They got turned over too many times in the crucial towards, you know. John.
But they'll have probably, you know, they'll have eyes on a Munster championship,
yes,
I'm sure, in the coming years, you know. I think, you know, beating Kerry and Munster will be their, has been, I think, their thing for a while. And, you know, you'd give them a shout. You'd give them a shout of a Munster championship along the way in the next couple of years, I think.
Yeah, I think Cork would have to beat Kerry to give them the hand.
You know, you don't know how it'll pan out, you know. That would probably have to happen, though.
Yeah. Let's be honest about this here. They're not going to beat Kerry. All right, up next, performance of the weekend.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens, yeah. and it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving. And I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last time.
The camera show doesn't look great, there was, maybe if they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like, the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually, it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name on your programme, like, I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out Terry, but unlucky to lose, like. Let's go. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and
100% reason to remember the name. All right, lads, I've three nominations for performance of the weekend. Number one, Andy Moran. I don't think there's any surprises there.
Dibs.
Outstanding. Just a brilliant performance. 4 from play in the first half. Ran out of steam a little bit. But Jesus, the Mayo fans love that man. Did you hear the ovation he got when he was interviewed after the game? Like, I mean, that's incredible stuff. But like, he's the record caps holder for Mayo now.
Is he?
Been on the go. Yeah. He passed out James Nallan against London in the championship.
And Nallan was around for years.
Nallan looked like he was 60 when he was finished playing.
And when he's around, when you think of Andy Moore, he got the goal 10 years ago when you were already in the final, Paul, 2006.
Yeah.
Andy got the goal against
the
us
comeback,
in the comeback 10 years ago, and he's still performing.
He's around since 2004. So he's around. No, he made his debut in 2003.
Okay.
But he made his, I think, championship debut maybe in 2004. So he's around so long, still 32, and still performing like that. I think he deserves a huge amount of credit. Conor O'Shea for his finish. On the turn, very important goal as it turns out, because Tipperary were on the way back. I actually thought Quinlivan's point, I know Hawkeye said no point. As I was right behind that. That was a point. Like, I'm telling you, Hawkeye doesn't take into account a point, one that goes in off the post, off the inside of the post.
It goes over the post at all. It's gone.
The percentages. Yeah.
Kearns thought it was a point too.
Yeah.
Kearns wasn't happy with that
call. Or he was technology.
Yeah.
It was right behind it.
Yeah.
So this Hawkeye is bullshit.
I know.
It was over the post.
It's the percentages, you said it. Yeah. We'll do that for another day.
Hawkeye's not even accurate.
Needs restructured.
All right, and the last one is David Coldrick. Now, the reason I'm picking David Coldrick is because he's been slated in the last day for these calls and these black card calls and all this. He got the black card call right, in my opinion, and as it turns out, this is 100% he got the Bill Maher call right. So there wasn't too many calls, he got big calls that he got wrong, as it turns out. So instead of being slated, let's show him a bit of appreciation. Paul, you're looking at me there.
Andy. All right. He did a good job yesterday, David Coldrick, I thought.
David Coldrick did do, and I don't think he deserved the slating. Like, because, I mean, David Coldrick deserves slating when he deserves it. But, like, I mean, I think it's very easy to attack referees after a game. And I think the black card has given huge ammunition to attack them. And, you know, obviously they should wait until they're very obvious black card offences. But I actually thought that was a very obvious. Yes, we're sorry for Kylie, but like, I mean, it was a black card all day long. So Conor, we'll go to you first. Those three.
Did you mention Conor O'Shea there?
I did, Conor O'Shea. I got distracted, man. Yeah. Then McQueen Living, but Conor O'Shea was a beautiful soccer style finish, which really should be banned.
Soccer style,
ground football, as Mikko used to call it.
And Jack McCaffrey is not included in this, no.
Well, Jack McCaffrey for his tweet. Yeah, we'll throw Jack McCaffrey in there as well for Tommy, aka Tom Carr.
Well, that was an irrelevant point, like Mr. Carr might make, because I'm not going to go for Jack. I'm going to go for Andy Moore. And, even the way he spoke yesterday, like he sort of nearly grabbed the microphone, screaming into it, like, and just sort of just such a leader. And I always remember I was a fresher in Jordanstown up in the University of Ulster, and there was this big elite gym where all the elite athletes could go and train and stuff, but Andy Moore always came into the public gym, and I used to think that says a lot about his character there. He's not
nicer women
us.
Out there, you see. You know?
Yeah, probably. But he was manic in the gym.
Said and appreciated that one.
Very lycra, yeah. Just off the bike.
Private gyms are full of fellas.
Yeah, into the elite gym. Ah, fuck this! I'm out of here.
For God's sake. But anyway, he was. It was such an animal in the gym working out. Like it was just. He always had a couple of lads in with him, and all you would hear was like, "Come on, get it up!" And he'd be running around everywhere.
easy as right. Easy.
But as soon as someone finished a squat, like he would sort of grab them out of it and tell them, away you go up the gym, you're doing squat jumps now." And he was just so aggressive, and I always remember just looking on, and I always remember asking him one day, "Do you mind if I sort of just step in and shadow you for a session?" And he was like, "Geez, no bother at all." Grabbed me in, there was just one of the lads in, and he was roaring at me and screaming at me to do better, and it just really marked sort of how driven he was. And that year Jordanstown won the Sigerson Cup with Mark Lynch up top with Andy Moore, and they went on and he won a club championship, and then he went on and won 5 Connacht titles in a row. And
he's 8 Connacht titles.
Yeah, for me it was just like that was the moment where I thought this boy is going places, and I've never forgotten that, just how driven he was in the gym and just how nice he was as well. Like, but so anyway,
so you're going for David Coldrick.
I'm going for David Coldrick.
Something about that.
That's brilliant.
I was coming in thinking, who were you going to pick, what three? And I would have given a shout to Liam Cairns just on his ear. But anyway, so I'm really appreciating, as I'm getting older, fellas that hit their 30s, because I think the experience they bring, the know-how, and to me he's been electric all year, you know. And I say that as a fella that's in his late 30s.
41, actually.
Wait till you see Gooch next weekend.
Oh, he's laid down the law.
Yeah, he'll have a big say next weekend.
He will, for sure.
Wait and see.
Yeah.
I'd say Andy Moore too.
Gooch, a bit of freedom, Paul, out around. We're not picking the team, but
Gooch,
you know,
has to mark Keane O'Sullivan. There's no two ways about it. Keane O'Sullivan won't drop off to Gooch, and that's the way it is.
Yeah,
have to occupy him.
Drop off Darren.
Wouldn't drop off Darren either, but you have to put someone on Keane who he has to worry about. You know, there's no doubt about that. I'm going to go full house here for David Coldrick. Congratulations to David. There is a GAR mug on the way, really
doesn't matter what we vote for.
Listen, I've said this on the hurling show. This is the GAA hour with Colin Parkinson. That's just the way.
Did you ever listen to this? We're not in it anywhere.
No, Andy Moran wins the mug. Up yours, David Coldrick. Andy Moran, 32, still doing it, there's no doubt. So congratulations to him. I'm actually going to get some mugs made up, because I don't know, one of these lads might tweet it out. Wouldn't that be great? Okay. Alright, that's all we have time for. Got a little bit too giddy there at the end of this show, lads. I don't know what it is. It's only Paul is the only one hungover, so I don't know why it's all giddy. Alright, that's all we have time for this week. Thanks to Conan, Mikey, Dion, Evan for putting the show together. Thanks to Paul Sennon and Conan for a second time for contributing to the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @sportsjoe_GAA and subscribe to us on iTunes. Search for the GAA Hour and rate us and like us and all those stuff. All right, we'll see you on Thursday, where we'll preview Dublin and Kerry.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.